This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
Youth Baseball Talk. Only on lineupmedia.fm. Now your host, Jim Cromer.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to this week's edition of Youth Baseball Talk, powered by The Rope Trainer, endorsed by Hall of Famer John Smoltz. And as John says, everyone should have one, from big leaguers to little leaguers. Make sure to check it out, theropetrainer.com. It will change how you look at training your arm and how you save those bullets for when they matter the most. I want to welcome everybody back. I certainly appreciate everybody sticking with us through the off season. We're going to have numerous guests that talk about things such as developing off-season programs, helping kids get better at hitting, helping kids strengthen their bodies, strengthen their arms, all the types of things that go on in the off-season. The off-season sometimes gets viewed as a time for players to get better. I want to use the off-season to also address some of the other things in the game of youth baseball that can get better as well. And maybe the off-season is the time to do it versus in the heat of the moment during the season. A couple of those things that I would like to talk about here this off-season is both parenting and coaching as it applies to youth baseball. I've asked a friend of mine to join me today simply because he's about as passionate a guy as can be when it comes to sports in general, not just baseball. In fact, his son no longer even plays baseball. He also is an intelligent guy when it comes to sports, a competitive guy when it comes to sports. But what I do know about him, as I've reconnected with him and become basically working with him on some other shows, is that he knows and treats his life as a parent as the most important thing in his life is parenting his children and trying to do it correctly versus maybe what he wants, maybe what he thinks is the best path. He realizes that sometimes he's got to look at what is best for them, what is best for their growth, and what is best for their fun, because you got to have fun too, right? So as a parent, we massage that and we try to mix it all up, and it's never an easy thing. It always seems on the outside looking in like it shouldn't be an issue, but it is. And if we continue to act like, oh, I don't have any issues, you're the one with the issues, if we don't look in the mirror a little bit and say, okay, let's talk about this, let's try to figure it out, we may never get to where we need to go. So that was why I wanted to bring him on. And so let me welcome him into the program, and we'll affectionately call him. Would you like to go with Fish or Daryl for this?
Fish is fine.
Fish is fine. You know, sometimes when you get official with people, you give them the old Daryl. Hey, Daryl, how are you? But I don't know that I've heard very few people call you Daryl.
Yeah, the only problem I would have with is the older I get, it's more difficult to be in certain situations and people call you Fish.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. I do some other shows with Fish on more fun, like the funner side of like Major League Baseball, whether it be across the board, the St. Louis Cardinals, things like that. But like I said, without question, I consider you to be an example of what we should try to do when it comes to our kids. Now, that doesn't mean you're perfect. You've admitted to me that you got a long way to go to reach that. You're not going to be walking on water anytime soon here. But we've talked at length, you and I, off the air about different topics. So what I wanted to do today, because I get this from people a lot, and this is the reasoning for the show, is I get people that hit me with scenarios and things like that all the time. So I think if we look at things before they happen, the whys, the hows, how to handle them, things like that, I think we can be better. So, Fish, I'll start with a couple of things. I'm going to use baseball, but you and I both know that it doesn't matter if it's baseball, hockey, football, basketball. In your case, your son's a very good basketball player. You have a daughter that's a dominant soccer player at a very young age. I know that you call her a beast and all this kind of stuff. You got other kids that you don't know if they're even going to like sports, whatever. No issue. You've been very honest and very open about that, like being the realistic side. So regardless what sport it is, for this thing, we'll use baseball. Your son did play baseball up until recently and decided that it just wasn't fast-paced enough for him. He liked basketball. Are there some scenarios that you could give us as a parent that you've sat in the stands and maybe struggled with, had questions, maybe some things you didn't handle right, maybe some things you felt like weren't handled right by a coach? Is there anything you can think of that maybe has happened to you in the past that would be a great topic starter for this? Or would you rather me just hit you with some examples?
I'm open for either one. I would say first and foremost, and you were trying to explain that, I don't want to come across to anybody thinking I got this thing right. Because like parenting in itself, no one's really written that book, or at least we haven't read it, to what's right. you know, I would say 98% of everybody out there is trying to do what's right for their children. But sometimes when we look back, if we are going to be honest, we've recognized, man, that wasn't right at all. I was too hard.
Well, I've said it on here a thousand times, is I think we think we're helping our kids when we do some of the things we do.
Absolutely.
I, without doubt, feel that way. I don't ever want to come across as 98% of the people that are acting this way are knuckleheads. That's not my feeling at all. I actually believe, like you do, it's the other way around. I believe, honestly, that a large percentage, I don't know if I'll go with 98 because I've seen some crazy stuff coaching over the years, but it's a very high percentage. It's real, put it this way, it's close to 98. Really don't realize that they're actually hurting the situation. They really think they're helping. And that's the key word, helping. We think we're helping. We feel like, because, this is what I believe, because we're their parent, we have to help them. I think we have to let them help themselves. A great a guy that we both know mentioned to me one time, and it sounded crazy when he said, my job's not to protect my kid. Now, at first, like most people, I went, what do you mean? Like if somebody was trying to hurt him, that's not what he meant. What he meant was from situations. My job is to teach him how to handle situations and let him protect himself, which was a pretty eye-opening statement for me because, again, when you first hear I'm not here to protect my kid, you start thinking, well, what if somebody come up and tried to grab him or something like that? No, we're not talking about that. We're talking about the everyday things that happen in life that you're not always going to be there for every little decision they make.
And that's what he meant, because I know right. Who you're talking about. We right. Don't have to go there. But he wasn't talking about someone doing something
that's
idiotic
right.
To his child. He
right.
Was talking about letting him grow, letting him learn, getting his feet wet, learn some of this stuff on his own, make decisions on his own. This thing, it should be simplistic, but it's complicated. It's complicated at every turn because parents do think that they're doing the right thing, but so many times it's counterproductive towards the growth of their child and how well they'll perform or not perform, and it's so deep. It just, I could give you situations. I mean, like I said.
Let's start with one, and let's see where it goes. Go ahead and give me one.
I'm standing around at the soccer complex. My daughter's 10 years old. She's playing soccer, and I hear the other parents talk about college scholarships. And we're talking about 10-year-old girls. To me, that's somehow missing a boat. Now, I'm not crazy. At the end of the rainbow, for my own children or yours or whoever's, if there's that pot of gold, I would love it. You know, I would love it if my kids played professionally.
Well, who wouldn't?
But I think that's the wrong mindset to have. And if you've got that mindset that you know you're way overboard on this thing, you're not allowing your child to have fun, as we talked about the one individual talking about, not here to protect them. Let them experience some of the bumps and bruises, so to speak, as they grow and learn, and not be there every time and turn trying to jam something down their throat. But I've also told you that I've stepped back and looked at the way I've approached my thoughts about my son's youth basketball, and I'm too hard sometimes, and it bothers me that I'm too hard. But it's hard to sit there when I think I can offer something and don't. But yet, in retrospect, it's counterproductive.
Well, you went right to the jugular. I was going to go with some actual like things that happen and then how they're handled both from the parent and the coach. But man, you went right to the big dog. And let me tell you, that is without fail the number one thing. Why are we doing this? What is the reasoning? What is it? I don't know that people even understand what they're saying when they start talking about college scholarships at 10. I'm also not an idiot. I also understand that a great story makes everybody start trying to apply what happened in that story to their life. So we do see a kid every blue moon, like in certain sports, an eighth grader get a scholarship offer. So now what happens? We're talking about one kid maybe, right? And it may not even be healthy for him. That's a whole other topic of conversation. The truth of the matter is they see one kid, and then all of a sudden, I got to get there. The word showcase. College showcase gets thrown around more than anything I've ever seen in my life. We got kids that at young ages going to showcases. And, well, they're out here watching. I hate to tell you this, folks. I hate to tell you this. And I would challenge any college that is out there having a showcase for kids in grade school. Okay? I challenge you to come on my show at any time you'd like. And let's look at the numbers of the kids that you've went out there and looked at that you wound up offering something to.
Probably zero.
It's probably a big fat zero. But I also would like to know the number of times people have been told they're on their radar. Let me tell you what these things are, folks, and I'm sorry to have to say this, okay? You think those colleges are there for free? They're not. Okay? It's almost like the government. Okay? You want to start letting some stuff out of the bag. All right? You prove to me that you went there for free because you're there really scouting, or did the showcase people pay you to come so that they can in turn tell the people, you need to come to this because these colleges are here? I'm not talking about the older ages, but they still get paid there too. Don't make any mistake about it. The truth of the matter is, these showcases for these kids, these schools get paid to send somebody there. That's how they pay for these assistants. Okay, it's a fact. I'm not saying every one of them. I'm saying a lot of them. Okay, it's a fact. Now, when you're in grade school, if you are spending money to go to a college showcase and you aren't in the upper 1% of some sort of ranking that they may have for you, which I'm going to tell you, I know one. I know a kid that was in eighth grade that was like that. I lived through it with them because I know the family. Okay? What I do know is while that kid, yes, was getting heavily recruited at a very young age, okay, I don't know that it was necessarily the greatest thing for anybody involved in that whole type of thing.
Well, the only one that would benefit ultimately is the college, because it can't benefit a 10, 11, 12-year-old kid. No. I mean, it may make him feel cool, but he's not benefiting by having people hound him over what college he may or may not go to at 10 years old.
Well, what I'm saying is that I have no idea where it even goes from here. But the fact of the matter is this. Obviously, anybody would like to do that. How many other kids were a part of any of this, and it was never a realistic thing? So I think your point without fail was that the fact that that enters into any conversation while a kid is 10 years old, 12 years old, 13 years old, and let's face it, even realistically for 99% of America, 14, 15, 16 years old, is a silly conversation. We need to see where they go and what they do. And all of it really at the end of the day is a crapshoot, okay, when you're that young, because you can project and you can do all this, but hell, they can't even get the draft right with some of the best athletes in the world. So please remember that there are no guarantees in life. Okay, that's the first thing. But yeah, you went right to the jugular right out of the gate with the scholarship talk on the sidelines between parents and coaches that do it for that reason. That's an absolute jugular right there. Give me an example of just interaction, just in instances of things that happen within a game involving a kid. You got any of those?
Well, I don't know if this is exactly what you're looking for without mentioning any names.
I'm going to give you one more chance, and then I'm going to lay them on you.
My son played football, and I was a member of the coaching staff, and they divided us up based on the number of kids they had, which was a great idea of having two teams.
Okay.
Well, ultimately, that goes right to A and B, so we know where you're at. There's an A team that's stronger and a B team that's not. But the purpose of this was to get more kids to be exposed to football and learning football. As they get older, God only knows which of these kids will be the good football players and won't. I helped coach the B team. My son played on the B team. I know a parent, two parents, mother and father, who took a child off the B team and demanded that their child would play in the A team. And that happened because it wasn't worth the organization arguing over it. But what happened was the team he played on ultimately, not this past year, but the year before, won 11-0, won every football game, essentially creamed everybody. But this kid rarely played. But the parents were happy because they could hobnob with the A-team parents and say my son was on the 11-0 team that dominated everybody, as opposed to their child playing. Now, my son's team won 3 games as opposed to the 11. But my son was exposed to many minutes of football. I don't know. I don't get, like, to the day they throw dirt on top of me, I will always wonder what motivation these parents had to take this kid off the B team, which he was playing and played many minutes, played all the time, he was a starter, to take him off of that team, to put him on the A team. They said it was because of his friends, whatever the deal. I think it was all parental thing. You can't tell me the kid's happier playing less just because the team won more games. I'd be happier playing more. Exposed to the elements, exposed to the game, exposed to making decisions while you're on the field. I think the parents did it for themselves so they could fit in with the crowd that was on a great football team.
Do you think that for parents, that that's really ultimately what it's all about? that you see when it, like anybody that wants to go there, is it really a winning and losing thing?
Yeah, I don't know that I could speak for every parent, Jimmy. But
would
like
be hard.
Said,
but I've
seen so much crazy stuff with parents. I mean, I wouldn't put anything past them. As I said previously, I believe that their heart's in the right space or spot, but they're missing the boat as far as I'm concerned. And who makes me an expert in this? I don't know.
Well,
I can look back, and I think I can honestly look back and be realistic about certain things. I'm here admitting that there's things I've done with my own son more because he's older, and my daughter, that as I look back, think, man, that was too hard, or that wasn't right. Where's the old, hey, let's go have an ice cream after the game and just have fun? It seems like I want to critique, and I've told him this, actually. I've told him, I said, listen, son, here's where we're at with this, because he's 13. I said, your grandma and grandpa come to the game. Your aunt and uncle come to the game. Your sisters come to the game. Your mother comes to the game. A couple neighbors come to the game. And every one of these people after the game are going to tell you you were as good as Michael Jordan. I said, I'm the only guy that's going to be honest with you. I'm going to talk about what you did well and talk about what you need to work on. And a lot of times I step back and say, you know, is that necessary though, Dad? Is it necessary that I point out all of his flaws? And I am quick to talk about his accomplishments also. But is it necessary that I talk about what he didn't do right? Just let him live through it and grow and learn. But as a parent, it's hard. Now, I've seen far worse than me. I've seen parents do stuff that, you know, I've seen parents threaten coaches, try to manipulate coaches, having them over for dinner. I've seen parents get kicked out of the park because the umpire or the referee threw them out of the game. I mean, just crazy stuff. And again, I'm talking about not high school age kids. I'm talking about young kids, you know, 10, 9, 10, 11, 12 years old. I don't know, Jimmy, you tell me. You're the guy that's been around it more. I only coached for that 4 or 5 years in the youth football program, but I've seen some crazy stuff.
I've seen some unbelievably crazy stuff, and again, I think we're helping. For me, if I was going to want to be on a team strictly to be on a good team, I would definitely be putting development, obviously, behind winning. Is it a friend thing? I could see maybe a situation where you admittedly know that your son is in it strictly for the social aspect of it, I guess. I would hope that at some juncture that conversation would happen versus this is bull. You know, and again, I don't know all the ins and outs of that situation, but I think at some juncture what you got to do is you got to ask yourself, why are we doing this? What's our end game? What are we trying to accomplish here? And then be open and honest with people about it would be a first way to go. I don't know why everybody has to correlate winning and being on the best team with right and wrong. I get it. Nobody wants to – listen, at the end of the day, nobody wants to get the crap knocked out of them all the time because, hey, I've lived that. My son played hockey for a couple of years, and I mean they literally won 2 hockey games, I think, in 2 years. And there were reasons for it, okay? The first reason, and I want to make this abundantly clear, is the way you win 2 hockey games in 2 seasons is you're not as good as all the other teams you played. That's the first reason. It didn't like anybody did anything. Now, could that have been avoided because a philosophy from the organization was we're going to quote-unquote play up? Okay. I'm not quite sure what that accomplished. I mean, somebody had an idea that was a good thing. And, hey, I'm not the expert on it. I don't know. Maybe it was. What I do know is that I had some kids that it got old. So I don't know how that's a good thing. And some of them quit. Some of them didn't want to do it no more. I would be naive not to think that maybe it did make some of the other kids hungry and wanted to get better. Maybe that was the motivation. I don't know. But my point is that at the end of the day, while this isn't completely about winning, winning is fun. So I get that. I mean, who wants to lose all the time? I get it. We don't do this. I'm not a big everybody gets a trophy guy. I know you're not as well. I'm not a everybody needs an accolade or an attaboy or a pat on the butt. I'm not that guy either. Some people think it's necessary. I don't know that it is. But you do this to compete, and the compete is the thing that gets thrown out a lot, okay? You and I had a conversation that kind of sparked this whole thing a little bit today, and we talked a little bit about, as a parent, how you view success. Now, that word didn't even get talked about when you and I were there, but that's ultimately what it comes down to is success. You're a smart guy. We talked a little bit about your boy and his basketball. And you said like one particular, you know, he might have struggled one game or something like that. So what I simply asked you was, you know enough about basketball to know, was he off or is he losing his fundamentals, his drive, his love, his heart? That's an issue. Not whether or not he was off. Not whether or not he's doing this. You're smart enough to know that that a kid can score 20 points and play terrible. A kid can score no points and play great. You've seen enough jump shots to know if he's working, if he's doing good, if everything looks good. So that's what I kind of told you that people have asked me over the years questions about success and things like that. And I would tell them, I'd say, if you come to the game, okay, and you leave the game with he was 0 for 4 and he made an error, and that's all you've got on your mind versus you didn't pay any attention to maybe they were good at bats, maybe the pitcher was dominant, maybe we asked him to go the other way and he struggled. Who knows? Maybe he got a rough, maybe he got a challenging hop. I don't know. It would be all relative, right? But the reality of it is, what are you really upset about? That he didn't have any success, or that he didn't work hard, or that he didn't play hard, or that he doesn't love it? What's more important? Well, again, the immediate is the result. Okay, the long-term marathon of this thing is, do they love it? Are they having fun? Are they enjoying it? Is it something that they love or enjoy enough that they want to work their butt off at it? Because at the end of the day, what I'm going to tell you is, if you're a coach, if you're a parent, and if you coach a kid or you have a kid that is that kid that works hard, that loves it, that eats it, sleeps it, drinks it, that gives everything he's got, don't pay so much attention to the results that he has right then and there. A lot of times in youth sports, results are dictated by a physical presence that some kids just are blessed to have before other kids. It may be exposure. It may be lots of things. But the one thing that you really struggle to teach a kid is to work hard. Sometimes it's just in them. Teaching a kid that their better days are ahead of them, teaching a kid that to love it, to breathe it, to sleep it, is just as important as being able to hit a jump shot and make a basket if it's the wrong way when they're six.
So if the kid doesn't have that Jimbo, he doesn't have that passion, that drive, maybe it's time for him to do something different. Or does he feel pressure because mommy and daddy, and we're talking about select here, maybe it's time for him to play rec baseball where he can just go out and enjoy it and not have to pay for extra hitting, extra fielding, all this stuff. Maybe he wants to do something else, or she, and they feel pressure from the parents. And I see this all the time, Jimmy. You know, this is going back to something that's got maybe off the beaten path, but I would love to have a more definitive answer on this playing up stuff.
Yeah,
because I've always said, so my daughter's team plays up a lot. But I've always said, well, why don't we play up? Why don't we schedule our games against the U.S. Women's Olympic soccer team? And everybody said, well, the point is, how much older do you play up and how beneficial is it? Everybody and their brother says, well, playing up will make them better. Does it? Does it? I don't know that. People say it. Everybody says it. I mean, it's like you and Darren Hendrickson talking about pitching, like more is better. Well, maybe it's not. Maybe more games isn't better.
Right. Yeah. No, more maybe is less. Playing, I love that. Yeah.
Maybe playing up isn't better. But, man, you couldn't talk to any parent, coach. The parents have been brainwashed this. And I don't know if it's right or not, but the parents have been brainwashed to believe, because if you talk to any parent, they would say, well, yeah, playing up makes them better. Does it?
Well, I'll give you my short response to that, and then you can cut it up. Take it, do whatever you want with it. I get that question a lot. How do I know if my kid should play up? And I'd say, why do you ask? And inevitably it's, well, because he's too good to be playing where he's at. That's the first thing I always get. And I have to sometimes say to them, well, I have no reason not to believe you. Now, if it's a kid I know, I'm obviously much more in tune with where this conversation is going to go. But if it's a listener or somebody that just asked me, again, I always say, well, I'm not the end-all be-all here, but I can tell you from what I've seen and from some conversations I've had with some guys that get paid a lot of money to do this for a living, whether it be youth, adult, anything, okay? And that is very simply this. The very first thing you need to do is, okay, well, if he's that good, where are you playing? Because let me tell you something, folks. I know a whole lot of people whose kids are dominating, and they think they're playing some real baseball. And when I go out and watch, they're not playing real baseball. Okay, so let me make that very clear. Right, wrong, or indifferent, whether you agree with it or not, I assure you, starting at a very young age, and I actually have no problem with it, because if a kid wants to do it and the family wants to do it, I don't have a problem with it. At a very young age, around here, 7, 8, heck, in California and Florida, 5, 6 years old, whatever. Hey, peace be with you. I will promise you, there is some really good baseball going on at a young age. I will tell you that when my group started and we played, and you know, we worked because we had kids that wanted to work. It was a unique experience at a young age. Fish and I had a conversation about this years ago when we were kind of reconnecting, and he said something to me that I disagreed with him with. He said to me, "Hey, I hear you're doing this. He goes, "Jimmy, I got to tell you, I don't know any kid 8 years old that wants to play 45, 50 baseball games in a summer." And I remember thinking, I didn't want to argue with him because he doesn't know for sure. He was making a generalized statement because, man, doesn't that seem odd that a kid would want to spend that much time not being a kid, kind of? And I knew what he was saying. I knew he wasn't being, like, derogatory with it. But you see so many people that make their kids do these things, it's hard to believe that. But I remember thinking to myself, for the most part, and I'm not naive to think that all 12 of the kids at the time lived it, breathed it, ate it, slept it. Okay, heck, my own kid sometimes would be like, "I want to stay here and swim." Well, we got a commitment. We got to go. I get that. But the truth of the matter is we would go out and play, and we got good at a young age because I was lucky. I had nice players. I had kids that wanted to work. I had good families. We didn't have any issues. We would go play, and then we'd come back around here, and we'd play. And, I mean, people routinely would say, "I had no idea this was going on." I mean, we play in our league, and I think my kid's pretty good. And we come out here, and our coach schedules a practice game with you. This isn't even a game. So my point is, where I'm going with this is, there's probably always a better level for you to go play at your own age group if you want to seek it out enough. Now, maybe that's not realistic. Maybe it's like, look, it's just as simple for him to play up. Okay, but what are you trying to accomplish? Well, first off, if he's going to play up, I don't think it has anything to do with where he came from. It's where he's going. So if you're going to go play up, you better be one of the better players on that team you're playing up on. That's number one. Because to sit up there and struggle, or to bat last all the time and switch in and out of one position and not develop yourself, to not have any success. And let's face it, confidence and success go a long way in any sport, for sure in baseball. I promise you that. Okay, it is the most – Steve Springer always says, you are playing the most degrading game out there. It will beat you up. And I guarantee you, the difference between the best players in the world and those players right underneath them, it's not talent. It is mental. These guys have figured out a way to handle the mental part of the game better than the guys right below them. I promise you that, okay? You got guys in AA and AAA throwing harder sometimes than these guys in the majors. You got guys that they're in those levels hitting balls farther. You got guys running faster. They're right there with them. It's a mental thing, and it will beat you up. So if your kid is playing up just because where he came from he was dominating, okay, you can't look at that and say, well, he wasn't getting any better back there, because I promise you he's not getting any better up there doing that either.
See, that's what I agree with, Jimmy. So in my own experience with my daughter, if they play up and they lose 3-2, I could see, hey, they probably benefited from that.
Sure.
But if they play up, which has happened, and they lose 8-0, what benefit did you have?
Well, and
I don't necessarily get that.
Well, and on that note, I was kind of coming from it from a one kid. But okay, let's look at yours. I like where you were going too. You were talking about a team playing up.
Right.
I like that. Because here's what I'll tell you on that too, okay? We played up in that hockey thing, and it wasn't an age thing there. It was a level. Like, you know, they go through all this trouble of playing these quote-unquote declaration games. So you play, like you say, hey, we're going to play 1A. And then you go out and play these declaration games, and you get it handed to you. But then you stay in that division. The whole thing is set up so that if you go out and get it handed to you, they drop you down to 2A. But we never did that. I never understood that. But whatever, that's fine. Hey, listen, I'm a big boy. If I didn't want my kid to do it, I could have moved him to another place, or I could have taken him somewhere else. No big deal. Okay? But hang on. So here's the thing on that. Okay? On the team playing up. Okay? Open your eyes. Okay? Don't come back to me and tell me, yeah, we played up. You know, we only lost 2-0, but boy, yeah, it was only 2-0. And be like, yeah, I was there. I saw the game. I've said this about my own baseball games before. You know what? We lost 4-0, but it felt like 20-0. We just outclassed.
So when they move up, what is it that they're gaining? Speed? Their experience of speed? Because did their fundamentals get better because they played kids that were older? And I want to go back to one other thing with the baseball thing, because I remember this conversation we had. So it's not really the 45 games a year, because that doesn't really seem like a ton, really. It's the preparation for those 45
for sure.
games. It essentially means this kid is playing some type of baseball probably 10 months out of the year, whether that's hitting in a pole barn, playing defense somewhere, going to special trainers, all the other stuff that comes with. If you're playing 45 games a year at 10, 11 years old, you're also paying for extra hitting training. You're hitting in a pole barn somewhere almost year-round. You're working on your fundamentals. And you know what? That ultimately will make you a better baseball player. It's got to. You're working on your hitting. You're working on your fundamentals. Well, it does for most. But the problem is you got to look in the mirror as a parent and ask yourself, what are we trying to do here? What are me and my children trying to do? Is it just to make them better baseball players? Because what have they lost? You don't know how many times, with as active as my oldest two kids are in sports, as you mentioned, I loved it when you said it. Well, I want to stay and swim. No, you got practice. You don't know how many times we've been down that slippery slope. And I've promised myself the day I have to drag one of my kids to a practice, I'm done. That hasn't happened. But it's going to have to happen because many a times both my children have said, hey, I'm having fun here with my friends swimming. We never get to swim, Dad. We never get to swim. But we play soccer every day of the year.
That's right.
So, all right, you've gained in the fact that your child has become a better player because they're gaining more skill. They're gaining because you're playing so much. But what have you lost? And to that note, I will also say that, look, we're all competitive. We all want to win. So here's the catch to that. If my children want to play competitive sports, whatever that be, tennis, basketball, golf, baseball, football, hockey, they have to do what we're talking about. It's a trap. My son can't play baseball and be competitive and play in a rec league and play 12 games a year. And he doesn't play baseball anyway anymore. But when every other kid out there is playing 50, 60 games a year, hitting year-round, going to special coaches to have them train, my kid's not going to be able to compete against that. So in order to compete and be competitive, if your son loves baseball and wants to do it, he's got to do that. We've trapped ourselves. There's no other way around it.
Yeah, I would agree 100%. And again, I knew where you were going with the other thing, but it's a chicken and egg thing too, because I knew exactly what you meant when you said it. I'm no dummy. And I remember thinking to myself, because believe it or not, I told you that when I left that conversation that day with you, it was at a time where I was really going through growth and change as a coach and as a father. Okay, because I felt like I had made mistakes with my older son that I promised I wouldn't make with my youngest, and my relationship with my older son improved greatly when I realized a lot of these things. Now, I want to say this too. It wasn't an awful relationship. The reality of it was I'm the adult in the conversation here, and I know darn good and well that there were things that I wish I could have done differently. Okay, so fortunately for us, it was never like awful. My point on the whole thing is this. I went home and I thought about that, and I thought, well, there's a commitment, there's work. I know my own personal situation, and that is that I took the time to make sure that I allowed him to be a kid as well. Now, that was a personal thing that we did. I would be a liar if I didn't say that there weren't times where that he was at a friend's house or at swimming and I had to go get him or he wanted to do something. Those things did happen. And to your point, just like every other kid in America, there were times when it was, I want to do this. It didn't make him a bad kid. Like, I didn't sit there and think, you should know better. You got practice. It's a teachable moment to say, listen, you made a commitment to this. Okay? We're going to practice. And as a parent, you do everything you can to help him be a kid because you've made this ultra-competitive commitment at such a young age. So I was like, listen, I'll bring you back when you're done. Or, hey, we'll go do this. Or, hey, we'll go do that. Or teach them at a young age to be good with their time and say, hey, listen, you know, if you want to do something, you know, a little bit off the beaten path here, you know, you're off for a couple of days, you know, whatever you want to do, let me know. There's a lot of different things you can do to assist in the process, for sure, as a parent. Now, we as parents are busy, okay? So, you know, now we're talking about revolving our life around baseball. And I can assure you, if I get my wife on here, she's going to let you know that there have been numerous times in our life together that her life, my life, our life, and I say that for sure, our life has revolved around my kids' baseball schedule.
And see, here's the thing. I'm excited about that because we get the same issue. So you again have to ask yourself, is your child as excited about that as you are? Because here's the situation. Like, this being Memorial Day weekend, my wife's school teacher, she's off school, my children are off school. I actually mentioned to my wife, I said, you know, we kind of got a long weekend here, we ought to do something. And she says, we got two soccer games, a basketball practice, and a special training session. So we're doing the same thing. So there's no time to go camping, not that we're big campers, but there's no time to take your son fishing. There's no time. So because I'm a sports guy and love sports and passionate about it, I'm okay with that. But are my children? I mean, how do I really know? I mean, so you don't know, and you ask these questions, you try to figure them out, and you work through them, but at the end of the day, when I look back, will I be as excited about it as I am now that my kids gave up everything else just to play athletics?
Well, it is a commitment. And I think at the end of the day, we need to make it fun, because you're right. There is no way to shape that discussion any other way than to be honest. And you just said it. You are giving up other things to do this. Listen, you're not going to get around that. So what I don't agree with is when people try to sugarcoat that. There's no reason to sugarcoat that statement right there that you made. It was the most important statement in the whole discussion, because people, like, how do I put this? They rationalize things down in life in general so that it fits nice and neatly into their plan. Youth sports is no different. Oh, well, we'll do this, or we'll do that, or we'll do this, or we'll make it work, or brother, hey, listen, brother, let me tell you, if I can give you any advice in this whole thing, it's to know. It doesn't matter what sport it is. Again, this is a baseball show, but I assure you that this conversation applies to all sports. If you're going to do this, for whatever sport it is a commitment, and you've heard me say on this show numerous times, it's a family commitment. This is not just a commitment from your son or daughter, whether they're 8 or 16. It really doesn't matter. It is a family commitment.
See, a lot of these big programs, Jamie, are driven by money. So
sure.
We know what we got there. So I'm going to be laughed at for making a statement. But, you know, we regulate other things like high school basketball or football, soccer, whatever it is, when they can start practicing, how long they can practice, how many days, how many hours. So youth sports are totally unregulated by any of this, hence part of the AAU basketball program problems. It's unregulated. So money's just, so maybe two ways to look at this. One is, can it be regulated? Can we say that a 10-year-old kid can only play 30 baseball games a year?
Try regulating that.
Well, I get that.
Yeah. No,
My point is, because parents become involved, the kids would be okay with it. And then the other thing is, maybe in time, after 30 more years of this, people will come to the realization, and maybe I'm wrong, I don't know that I'm right, but people may come to the realization that, you know what, this didn't work. Let's do this differently. All this extra training, practice, didn't really work. Because, you know, for as many kids that are making it to that college scholarship or whatever we're talking about here, how many didn't? So you're going to have 85% of these parents saying this didn't work. So maybe it changes that away. I'm just saying, I'm not asking for regulations here, really. I'm just hypothetically speaking and saying that you could change that and give kids more time with their family to do other things than just play baseball or basketball or whatever it is, coach. Because we've talked about this off the air with the one of the biggest problems I see in the youth sports, and it filters down all the way through it, is the fact that these kids are never playing by themselves. I've had neighbors say, man, you never see kids playing baseball in a neighborhood like we used to. No, because they're hitting in a pole barn somewhere, and they're doing it 2 or 3 hours every day. So sometimes when they come home, they do want to ride their bike or go swimming and not play baseball catch in the front yard. So all I'm saying is maybe we would all be better off if there was more time spent with family and less time. And I'm a competitor, brother. I don't mean to come across all sure. Wishy-washy. But if this thing continues to escalate the way it's going, it's going to be out of control, because I feel like it is now.
Okay, so I want to run an idea by you, and I want you to be honest. I want you to, before I ask you, I want you to promise me you'll be honest with me. If you don't like it, if you see flaws in it,
honesty's not my best. So we'll see where this goes.
What people don't know is that you would probably love the opportunity to rip me apart if I was wrong about something. So that's fine. I know you'll give me your honest.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm a big advocate of this. It's something I challenge people to do on the show. Again, I believe this in my heart, and I've said it 5 times a day. This is a baseball show, but my idea would play no matter what sport it is. Okay, so Fish, my challenge to all coaches and parents is that coaches, because ultimately at the end of the day, they're the ones that do the schedule, right? You coached football, I coached baseball, I helped with this. There has to be a schedule.
Organization did it.
Yeah, well, whatever. My point is you got to have a schedule.
Right.
Okay, so if you're a coach, you might get your game scheduled because it's an organization, but you schedule practice. That's what you do. Or you might get told this is when you're available to practice. It really doesn't matter. Somebody out there is in charge of the time and send something out that says this is the time we're all going to get together and we're going to either A, play a game, B, practice. There are other things that come into play too. Team moms get involved and say, hey, we're going to have a pizza party, or we're going to have a team meeting or a parents meeting, whatever it is. So my challenge to all coaches out there is to to work into your schedule. I'm not even going to put a number on it. You do it. If you could do it a lot, that'd be great. If you only do it a couple of times, I guarantee it'd be a long way. I want you to schedule a quote-unquote unorganized practice. Now, let me tell you what an unorganized practice is. An unorganized practice is whatever sport it is you do, everybody shows up with the kids, and if you want to, that's fine, but I would recommend leave. If you want to, you know, if you want to leave somebody behind to make sure nobody gets killed or something like that, doing something silly, that's fine. We didn't have anybody around when we were kids, and we turned out okay. Yeah, kids got hit with baseballs in the nose. Some couple kids got hit with a bat. Kids got hurt. They went home. They, you know, whatever. But my point is, you're going to schedule this, okay, and let the kids just do their thing. And when they come to you, they're going to come to you and go, well, what are the rules, coach? I don't know. Figure them out. Well, what are the teams? I don't know. Divide them up. Well, who's going to call safer out? I don't know. When we were kids, the catcher called fair and foul, and the first baseman and third base, they would – and but what if they cheat? Well, then you guys will have to figure it out. Because if you don't think that when I was a kid, if you don't think when I was 10 years old that out in the sandlot that the kid playing first base on a team that wanted to beat us didn't give his team every bang-bang call, it happened, and I was mad, you're damn right, I was pissed, and we probably argued about it, but that's how I grew up.
I cheated.
Of course you did.
So here's the thing, Jimmy. You need to say no more. So here's how I feel about it. Based upon everything I've already said, you know what side of the fence I sit on. I sit on the side of the fence. Absolutely terrific idea. What are they now learning? They're learning how to socialize. They're learning how to put their skills that they're going to have to use the rest of their life in play. Deciding on their own. Not some coach that's 45 years old with a big beer gut like I got. Right. Deciding who's safe and out, deciding who's on what team, deciding. They'll figure it out, and it's a good lesson for them to figure it out. Now, the problem is this. Won't never happen. You can challenge all day long because all these coaches that say, you know what, I'm going to implement what Jimmy said, feel like they're losing ground to the coach who's not because some coaching expert over here is teaching her kids in that 2 hours how to play baseball. So you're going to tell me that 2 hours of extra coaching that you lost because you've allowed your kids to handle it themselves has set these kids back as players? Absolutely not. But you're not going to get coaches to think that way. It's not going to happen.
Right.
But I love the idea.
Well, and again, I'm back to this, and this is where I go with this, you know, for sure. I'm going to give you the, you know, I'm going to leave you with what I've gotten, okay? And again, you tell me when I'm wrong. You stop me. Whenever I'm wrong. Oh, you can't do that. Somebody will get hurt. What if somebody gets hurt? And I always say, well, again, I brought it up earlier. I mean, if somebody gets hurt, I mean, I didn't even have a cell phone when I was 10. Now they got a phone, somebody can call you. Okay? And again, I'll even give you this. If you want to leave a guy behind that kind of throws up a lawn chair and sits over here, that's fine. Because the difference is when we were kids, what I will say is we were probably across the street. And somebody could have ran across the street and got somebody. In fact, it happened numerous times. So I get that. Or it was in a true sand lot right next to somebody's house. I get that. No problem. That was where we went and got water. That was where we did it. So that's fine. I mean, I know that we have things are so much better today than they were yesterday, which I don't always believe. But that's fine. You can do that too. Well, what about all the arguments? Well, we argued. We fought. We rolled around on the ground a few times. I'm not advocating fighting, but the reality of it is it happens. It's better that it happens there than the first time they have a major disagreement is over something really serious. I promise you that.
So these kids, I'll stop here. These kids all have a better chance of becoming a politician or a news analyst, which the arguing would play right in hand with the skill set. So they're learning something that they may use on the job than they do becoming Major League Baseball players.
For sure.
So you're learning something that you may be able to implement in your life that's applicable.
This is my favorite one. You ready for the last one?
Yep.
Somebody's going to get made fun of. They're going to get picked last. Well, that means somebody's going to get picked last. Okay? Let me assure you as I sit here today, I got picked last a lot.
So did I.
Maybe that's why I wound up the way I am.
Well, you know what, though? And that's a good point. It probably has a lot to do with how you've ended up. But you know what? Sitting across the table here from you, I think you've ended up pretty damn good, Jimmy.
Well, I appreciate that.
And I'm not just trying to say that it fits in with the show and it's just the truth. There's nothing wrong with you.
Hey, I'm nice and damn it, I'm proud of myself.
So there's nothing wrong.
No, I know what you mean.
I was the same boat. I've been picked last before. And you know what? I've been picked first.
That's right. That's what's interesting.
The point is, you move on. Now, you know, look, if somebody comes home and say we were making fun of a disabled kid or something, hey, that's got to stop. That we ain't bullying people.
Right.
Getting made fun of.
Hey, but wait a minute. Are
I'm
you
not
gonna
talking
tell
about bullying.
Me, are you going to tell me when you were a kid, though, that you didn't have a couple friends or maybe even yourself in a bad moment didn't do something stupid and wrong?
Well, sure. And I'll tell
you
what.
From it.
I've also been made fun of.
That's
even
right.
as an adult. I mean—
Well, I believe that.
It's life. There you go. It's life lessons, and you got to maneuver around them and figure out how you're going to do this. And
hey, you're not going to be any good at anything in life until you screw it up. I
right.
promise you that.
So I'm not advocating
sure.
to leave them in a situation where they're unsafe, a kid's getting hurt. And I'm not advocating us bullying or picking on kids because this kid's not as good as a baseball player.
Sure.
You know, but I think ultimately the kids will figure it out, and I think they will have learned something from it.
You know, for me— you know, I'd like to believe that everybody could learn something by doing this, whether you're the best player, the quote-unquote worst player, whatever terms you want to throw on it. I think they could all learn from something. I remember being a kid, and as we grew older, I think we recognized the whole picking last thing. And this was a long time ago, obviously. I remember drawing straws. Or throwing sticks in the middle for hockey, things like that, street hockey, and then people throw sticks out, and then you'd get mad because you'd say you opened your eyes and you wanted to be on so-and-so's team, whatever. I remember that. But here's what I also remember, and people always say that, well, the teams will be unfair. You know what happened? I remember this. Like it was, yeah, we played a game like that, and then when it was so lopsided, it'd be like, hey, I'm going to go over here, this guy go over here. Kids, we don't give them enough credit. They will figure it out. It may not be today. It may not be tomorrow. But they will figure it out if we let them. Let them handle it.
Only if we've given them a chance to have those abilities.
Sure.
So if we're constantly over the top of them, Jimmy, you look at this, your own kids, because I know what era they grew up in, same as mine. Have they ever done any baseball activity without an old guy over the top of them?
Well, I've allowed them both to do
right,
some.
So let's say
yes,
most.
I know what
let's
you're
say
saying.
Most, not
yes,
yours. Most
no, for sure.
So then we've taken the ability of them to be able to figure it out on their own away from them.
Correct.
So if we're always making decisions from them, going back to what you said about the gentleman who said my job's not here to protect my child in every situation, and we explained what that really meant.
Right.
He's allowing his child to make some mistakes and figure it out on his own. And if you don't do that, you've robbed them of that ability. They no longer have the ability to decide on their own or make decisions. Well, how do I know if it's bathroom break? Or how do I know if it's time to get a drink? Coach always said that. Coach always told us when we go to the bathroom, when we get a drink, when we go home, when we show up, when we what uniforms we wear, who's playing what position. I've never had to decide that. So you're taking that ability away from them. And will there be a generation lost without the ability to decide on their own?
Hey, I've already seen it. So I wish everybody luck with it. Hey, thanks for being on today. I'm going to have you come back and bottle up some stuff that you see out there and come back on. Let's figure it out. How's that sound?
That sounds great.
Hey, I really do appreciate you. You're a good man, good father. I love the way that you're doing it. Keep it on.
Thank you.
But you ain't perfect.
No.
Who
far,
is?
Far from it.
Hey, that was my man Fish joining me today to just really try to come at some of this stuff that's going on from a parent's point of view and some things that happen that maybe I don't know. Maybe you don't know. Maybe the coach don't know. Let's figure it out, right? Let's ask some questions. Let's talk about it. Hey, we're going to take a short break. Again, I can't thank the guys over at the Rope Trainer enough for being a part of the show. And as John Smoltz always says, everybody needs one from big leaguers to little leaguers. Let's save those young arms. Make sure you check them out. TheRopeTrainer.com, my good friend Earl Perrin and Chris Verna and that group over there. It won't be long. We're going to have them start contributing to the shows as well. We're working on that as we speak. Let's take a short break. I want to hear from my man Mark Lineweaver. And when we come back, we're going to hear from everybody's favorite, Domingo, and his baseball theory, his theory of baseball, of course. Don't be semi-pro, be big time, as brought to you each and every week by thepitchhitter.com. Make sure you check those guys out, pitchhitter.com. Justin Stone with EliteBaseball.tv and my friend Rick Strickland. See you on the other side of the break.
Attention coaches, parents, and student athletes. Here at Youth Baseball Talk, one of the most common emails we receive from mom and dad are about the college recruitment and selection process. Far too often, these emails do not have happy endings. Let me tell you about our friend Mark Lineweaver in Perfect Placement. Perfect Placement identifies and helps you with important decision-making factors which are way too often overlooked in the college recruitment process, such as, is it the right student body size for you? Is it a comfortable proximity from your home? Do they offer your desired field of study? How about extracurricular activities that interest you? And of course, the proper level of competition for your skill set. Once they've identified these factors, they will contact those colleges and speak directly to the coaching staff in an effort to help you. To learn more about Perfect Placement, simply check out their website, perfectplacement.com. That's placement with a Y. To contact them, you can email them at info@perfectplacement.com. Remember, that's placement with a Y. Call 310-921-8669 for more information. That's 310-921-8669. Perfect Placement, specializing in assisting your student athlete.
Thank you, Mark. Appreciate your sponsorship of the show and continued involvement here in Youth Baseball Talk. Make sure you check them out. It's a great thing for all student athletes that just want the opportunity to play sports in college. Without waiting any longer, let's go to our main man, Domingo Ayala, and his theory of baseball. I love Domingo. I love his message. It's fun. It's lighthearted. I love the people over at the Pitch Hitter. They've come up with a phenomenal product for the young guys out there, young gals that just want to throw more strikes. And as we talked about today, maybe get mom and dad off them in the stands with all the just throw a strike. It's a great thing. It's fun. It's very usable no matter what the situation is. Make sure you check it out, thepitchhitter.com. I'd highly recommend it for any young player out there that just really wants to throw strikes. Make sure you check it out. Let's hear from my man Domingo. Take it away, bud.
Hi, Jim. How you doing? It's good to be on the show. Thank you to the Pitch Hitter for making this possible. Jim, I went to a practice the other day, and we practiced first and third offense for 45 minutes. 45 minutes! You're probably thinking, what can you do for 45 minutes? Well, let me tell you. We do the early steal, delay steal, regular steal, steal and stop, delay steal and stop, big lead, early leaving from third base, fake jump from third base, get picked off, steal and run backwards, steal and fall down, double steal, act like you're not paying attention, everything. You got like 43 different signs, but you only run about 4 of them. There's so many different signs, Jim, that no one know what to do, and you know what happened? The hitter get one sign, the runner get another, now they all mess up. You know what the best first and third offense is? A base hit. If you spend that 45 minutes practicing about getting a hit instead of the 25 play you never run, you're gonna have a better chance. And let me tell you, a base hit will work every time. That's what I got for today. Thanks for having me on the show. And thank you to the Pitch Hitter. Don't forget to check it out. It will help you make the big time.
Awesome stuff, Domingo. Really appreciate you. And again, can't tell you how much I appreciate thepitchhitter.com. Check it out. Don't be semi-pro. Be big time. Just like the Pitch Hitter. Let's take it on over to my man Justin Stone. He's got a lot of great stuff going on with EliteBaseball.tv, making improvements each and every month for all of its followers and all the people that his disciples, as I like to call them. He is the guy when it comes to that sort of stuff. I greatly appreciate him contributing each and every week. So let's hear from Justin Stone with his EliteBaseball.tv training tip of the week. Justin, take it away.
Thanks, Jim. This is Justin Stone from EliteBaseball.tv coming to you with the tip of the week. As we get into the winter months, now we're going to start our off-season training. And what I feel like happens as we get into practices, kids taking lessons, playing with their teams, and they get into an indoor setting, they start working in cages, is a lot more busy work than actual work that's helping develop your players. And I think this comes about a lot when players start doing hitting drills. I feel like there's not a real purpose for a lot of the drills, and they end up just swinging without any direct purpose in mind. That's something I do with all of my students that come in. Whether we're working one-on-one or whether we're working with a group of 8 or 10, what are we specifically getting better at today? What is our purpose today? What do we try to improve on today? And I think you have to ask yourself every time you step into a facility and you're getting ready to hone your craft and get better at this game. What do I specifically want to get out of this practice session or this day? When you have that in mind, practice becomes a lot more purposeful and you get a lot more out of it. But what I feel like happens as players get into their youth practices is they get set up in drill stations and they're doing a whole bunch of different hitting drills. And I feel like as a coach, all right, this is great. I got these 8 different players and they're going to go through a circuit of 5 different drills today. But what are they getting out of it? What are they really working on? So this is what I ask you to do with your players this offseason. If you're a dad and you're coaching your own child, if you're a youth coach and you have a youth travel team, individualize your practices for your players. So when we get in and we're doing hitting drills for our players, I have a repertoire of drills that works specifically for that player. I'm individualizing their plan, specifically for what they need. So when I have players that step into the cage, they have feedback from me, and we're doing maybe three drills over the course of 20 minutes, and we're all working off the tees. I may have three or four guys in that cage doing three or four different drills because it's specifically to what they need as a hitter to make them better. You know your players' needs better than they do a lot of times when they're youth athletes. Help them guide and find their best swing by finding the best drills that work for them. And of course, you're not gonna be able to do that just in day one, but you're gonna get to know your hitters over a longer period of time. Hitting and just doing busy work for the sake of doing drills is not making them better hitters. It's getting them in shape. They'll be able to swing more, a greater volume in practice, but it's not helping them. It's just reinforcing whatever flaws they have, which will continue to be flaws if there's not a specific signal or mindset by the brain trying to send a change to the body. If the brain isn't attached to the body while we're working, we're not getting better. So when you individualize their practice plans and get to work on the drills that help them, now we've attached brain to body. They know specifically what they're trying to get out of a drill, and it's going to make them better, making your practice time much more efficient. That's something I do with all of our hitters from the ages of 9 to we have our oldest groups that come in here at the high school level at 17. When they step in the cage, they know what drills they are working on for them. And that becomes part of their routine that they take with them oftentimes for the rest of their baseball playing careers. So today's theme, practice with a purpose. Not just doing hitting drills for the sake of doing hitting drills and thinking that we're getting better out of doing busy work. Individualize their plan, make them think about why they're doing each drill, and now we have purposeful practice. This is Justin Stone from EliteBaseball.tv. Find those drills for your specific players on our drill form. Click in the flaw and it's going to spit out three or four different drills that'll work for your hitters. Come see us today.
Thank you, Justin, and thank you, EliteBaseball.tv. You never disappoint, and I really, really always look forward to hearing what your tip is. It's been so helpful for both me and my kids, and when I was a coach and helping all these young kids up until this year, it's made a big difference in my coaching life for sure. You've definitely made it easier for me. Let's hear from the guy that I've now turned my kid over to as I get to just sit on the sidelines like the people we discussed today and try to be a good parent and try to be a good dad and just be a fan. So let's hear from Rick Strickland with his Blast Motion Tip of the Week brought to you by St. Louis Pirates Nation. Rick, take it away.
Hey, Jim. Thanks for having me on the show again this week. Wanted to talk a little bit this week about the World Series that just wrapped up. I know we're in the heart of Cardinal Nation, and I know it might have been painful for a lot of those fans out there to watch the Cubs win the World Series, and I have to admit that over the years I had to keep my Cub enthusiasm under wrap. I think it's kind of surprising when people find out that I am a Cub fan, and they have to explain that to you because it's kind of an interesting dilemma with me that I'm going to talk about a little bit this week, and I think it's important that young baseball players actually listen to this. My kids, I have three kids, and you know, I think they think that they need to be Cub fans because I'm a Cub fan, and you know, I'd be honest with you, I would prefer that they choose their allegiance, team allegiances, based upon basically the same way I chose mine. I was born and raised in Chicago as a kid, and my introduction to the game of baseball was by my uncles at the age of 6, and basically I was told, they were teenagers at that time, that I had to stay in the house and watch the Cubs play in the daytime and then turn around in the evening time and watch the White Sox at night. And then be able to give them game-by-game recap or any-by-any recap of what happened between the two teams. And because they were teenagers, they could be bullies a little bit, and if I didn't get it right, there could be consequences for not giving it right. But really, as a young player, without really parental involvement, I gained a great passion for the game. So I can't tell you how many games as a young player I actually watched as a young person how many games I actually watched. But I can tell you, they were years that went by where I never missed a Cub game on WGN and probably never missed a White Sox game on Channel 44 at that time. Of course, those channels have all changed. And then when I moved to Cardinal Nation at the age of 14, we were lucky because we did still have a WGM in the household in Mount Vernon, Illinois, and I was able to catch all my Cub games and took a lot of abuse and things over the years. But one of the things that people asking me, why are you a Cub fan? I think it's part of my DNA, and hopefully my kids will choose to root for their local team, because you know what I am as a baseball coach, as a baseball player, came from the daytime and watching those games day by day, hours by hours, on the TV, trying to go out and mimic my favorite player. In practicing things that I had saw on TV. Now, granted, growing up a Cub and some of those lousy teams I watched play, I was learning a lot of bad habits, but just really kind of learning what baseball was all about. Today's you tend to not watch games on TV, that is. We have mobile apps, and so the attention span and watching the games is very, very brief, but it was a pleasure being able to learn how to play by watching my favorite players from multiple teams play and learn the game that way, and listening to the announcers and listening to the special guests that came on those broadcasts and talked about. So, you know, we had a Cubs won, and, you know, yeah, I'm extremely ecstatic for that. But really it's a culmination of who I am today as a baseball person that's involved heavily in youth developments in baseball. So my advice to kids out there that are aspiring to be baseball player is, you know, play as much baseball as your body will allow you to play, but also watch as much as you can watch. There's a lot of learning things that you can take away from watching other players play and also watching some major league guys play. So I just wanted to wrap that up this week, Jim, with that on the show. I appreciate it every week that you give me an opportunity to talk to the folks out there. If you want any information about us, you can reach us at sandlotelite.com or very soon, rickstricklandbaseball.com, which will be our online coaching community. Thanks, Jim. Look forward to talking to you next week.
Great stuff as always from Rick. Really appreciate you being a weekly contributor to the show, and special thanks to Blast Motion as they bring Rick in here each and every week. It's such a useful tool. My son just had his first off-season hitting workout with Rick, and it's just amazing what these things can do. So make sure you check it out, the Blast Motion Sensor. It's a phenomenal product. I really enjoyed the show today. Anytime I get an opportunity to sit down with another guy that I feel, you know, is just like me, just looking for answers, he's probably made all kinds of mistakes, done a lot of things that he's proud of when it comes to his kids, sometimes done things that probably wishes he could have done different. I think we're a lot alike in that aspect. He and I have had numerous conversations about this, about the right, about the wrong, about the not knowing what's right or wrong. It means a lot to me that a guy like that would be willing to come in here and kind of open up his soul a little bit about some of the things that he's been involved in. Now, the conversations could go on and on and on with all the different stories that we have, and I promise to have him back because he's such a engaging guy that loves to have the conversations and ultimately does it because he, like me and like most of you out there, want this thing to be better, and that's why we're here, right? So I look forward to the day I can get him back in here, and maybe he's got some more stuff for us. But for everybody that contributes to the show each and every week, I can't thank you enough. Of course, that's the rope trainer who brings you Youth Baseball Talk each and every week. Earl Perrin volunteering to sponsor the show because he believed in it and believed in the message. And I believe in their product as well. Like I said, if it's good enough for Chris Verna, who's one of the top trainers in the country, if it's good enough for John Smoltz, who's a Hall of Famer that took time out of his Hall of Fame speech to address this youth arm problem, I'm a believer. I love it, saw it, thought it was great, and I do appreciate them. Make sure you check them out, theropetrainer.com. I highly suggest one of these. I think you're going to see them in bullpens all across the country. They are making a difference. Make sure you check it out, theropetrainer.com. Of course, I appreciate Domingo Ayala bringing his theory of baseball each week, and of course, the people at The Pitch Hitter, thepitchhitter.com. Again, I love it. My kids are older now, and you know, Logan doesn't pitch anymore, but I can only think back to the time when we were 8, 9 years old and the struggle to throw strikes for some kids and how something like that would have been awesome. And it's so simple, and it's such a nice, easy-to-use product. I just wish we would have had it. Make sure you check it out, thepitchhitter.com. And, of course, my contributors, Justin Stone with his EliteBaseball.tv. If you haven't checked out EliteBaseball.tv, I suggest that you do. Be the greatest $99 you ever spent. It's just an unbelievable product that keeps giving you information every week, every month. And if you decide to become a full-time member every year. And, of course, Rick Strickland, who I've thought enough of to say this is where I want my son to play his program baseball. Thank you for your contributions each and every week. For my producer, Brian, I am your host, Jim Cromer. And for Youth Baseball Talk, we will see you guys next week. Have a great weekend.
Tune in next week for another edition of Youth Baseball Talk. Subscribe and leave a rating and review on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to the show. Find us online at youthbaseballtalk.com, facebook.com/youthbaseballtalk, or on Twitter at podcastbaseball. Plus, check out all of our podcasts at lineupmedia.fm.
This podcast was a presentation of lineupmedia.fm.